what the FAA thinks is important, from the agency's acting administrator. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. Love it, hate it, but the FAA is the federal agency charged with regulating aviation and those who practice it. FAA Acting Administrator Robert Sturgill made his annual trip to EAA AirVenture this year and spoke to a mostly general aviation audience about the FAA's priorities and his own. We'll present his prepared comments today, starting with introductions of some FAA staffers in what quickly turned into a rather humorous game of who's got the deepest GA roots.
Thanks so much, and thanks everybody for being here. It's a great show. It's a great place to come to. I'm particularly appreciative of you all taking time out of your day so that we can hear from you about how things are going and what we can improve on. I've got a fair amount of flying experience, but admittedly, probably not, you know, as much as most of you all do in this community. So I've come to this show probably, I think, 5 out of 6 or 4 out of 5, whatever, of the last few years since I've been the deputy and the acting administrator at the FAA. But we also have a whole bunch of smart people. One of the things I'm smart enough to know is that I don't know everything. So I rely on a whole group of folks, not just feedback from you guys, but from our team as well. So I just want our folks to take the time to go down the row here and introduce themselves, and I would encourage you that over the next couple of days, if you see our team walking around and you have issues or comments, please just stop them, grab them, and chat with them for a minute. But I think Barry will start with you.
Hello, everybody. I'm Barry Cooper. I'm the regional administrator of the Great Lakes region based in Chicago.
I'm Nancy Kalinowski. I'm the vice president for systems operations in the air traffic organization.
My name is Ben DeLeon. I'm with the Airports Organization. I'm the Director of Office of Planning and Programming in Washington.
Hi, I'm Nick Sabatini. I'm the Associate Administrator for Aviation Safety, and I'm a GA guy.
Good morning. I'm Fred Tilton. I'm the Federal Air Surgeon. I'm a GA guy, too.
Hey, I'm Warren Silberman from Medical Certification. I'm a GA guy and a Warbird guy.
What a contest you started, Nick. I'm Steve Wallace. I'm the director of the Office of Accident Investigation. I fly gliders and I tow them too.
I'm Kim Smith, an aircraft certification manager of the Small Airplane Directorate, where all the GA airplanes start.
I don't have any funny lines, but my name is Frank Pasquitz. I'm in the Aircraft Certification Service, and I'm the manager of the Production and Airworthiness Division.
Pete Tavares, I manage the Safety Analysis Branch within the FAA's Office of Accident Investigation. I'm not just a GA guy, I'm a 20-year Alaskan bush pilot.
Good afternoon. My name is John Duncan. I'm manager of the General Aviation and Commercial Division. I've got 300 hours in a breezy.
I'm John Allen, Deputy Director of Flight Standards. I started out in Cessna 150s, like we all start out usually, not breezies. This is my first time here. It will not be my last time here. It's like the Disney World of aviation, and I love meeting the salt of the earth of aviation. Thanks.
Great. Thanks very much. I do want to point out, I don't see her sitting down, but Jana Murphy, the Chief of Staff for the FAA, there she is in the back, is also here. Jana? Okay. As you all can tell, like all pilots, we have a fairly friendly competition going on among the GA guys, the bush pilots, the warbirds, the carriers, the Navy guys, the Air Force guys, and as soon as the Air Force and Army guys start outnumbering me by about 10 to 1 or so, I'll be calling the Navy guys in. But I'm feeling pretty good right now, even though the numbers aren't that good. Listen, the other group I want to acknowledge while we're introducing folks is what I consider a very distinguished group that we recognize each year here. As many of you know, the General Aviation Awards Program and the FAA have recognized aviation professionals for their contribution to aviation safety over the years. The nomination selection process is very tough, and it's very competitive. And it begins at the FISDOs and moves on to our regional offices at that level in the 9 different regions. And various panels of FAA professionals within the fields then select the national winners from the pool of regional awardees. Last night at the theater in the woods, I had the pleasure and privilege of recognizing this year's winners, and I want to do that again this morning here. So please give a hand to the winners this year, and I think the folks are with us. CFI of the Year, Max Trescott of Mountain View, California. Max, if you're here, there you are. Good. Great. The FAST Team Representative of the Year, John Typen from University City, Missouri. Maintenance Technician of the Year, Mike Bush from Aurora Grande, California. And the Avionics Technician of the Year, Tim Atkinson from Benton, Kentucky. Great. But a great group, and gentlemen, again, congratulations and thanks very much for your efforts on behalf of the aviation safety and education. You know, earlier this morning, I was also over at Aerochelle Square with a ceremony to honor another milestone, 30,000, the 30,000th amateur-built airframe. And I think that says a lot about EAA's efforts to keep everything going. So, Tom, it's definitely working. And as you mentioned, we're looking forward to the 40,000th, 50,000th, and et cetera, because right now that is one of the growing segments of the industry, about 4 to 6% a year. So how many home builds are out there in the audience? Why don't you all raise your hands? Great, fair number. About 10% of the entire U.S. fleet, U.S. registered fleet right now is home builds. And I know that the other number that folks have been talking about is 51, the 51% rule.
We'll be back for more with FAA Acting Administrator Robert Sturgill in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News. Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack. This is FAA Acting Administrator Robert Sturgill from his seminar at Oshkosh.
So as you know, we've got a proposed policy out there for home builds. And it's come to our attention that some companies simply aren't following the letter of the law when it comes to selling a kit that requires, you know, nothing more than two turns of a screwdriver. And I think folks got to understand that for safety's sake and for the integrity of the system, we just can't let that happen. It's not right, you know, and I'm sure nobody in this crowd is part of that. But it does circumvent the safeguards that are put in place for our regulatory system. So when we say 51% of the plane has to be put together by hand and not the kit maker, I mean, that's what it's all about. I think, as Tom has recognized, our regulations have essentially remained unchanged for the 50-year period here. The aim of the policy change isn't to punish folks. It goes back to the safety and the integrity of the system and the TC and PC process, you know, as well as being able to continue to support and encourage the home build industry, which has been a tremendous innovator and, you know, has had a spillover effect into the other parts of the industry. One thing I do want to touch on here, though, while we're talking about it, is some of the safety trends with the home builds, because that's, you know, that is always important. And the trends, unfortunately, are increasing, both in terms of absolute numbers and in rates. So we've got a partnership with Tom and EAA to try and bring these down. I know the General Aviation Joint Steering Committee has formed a new subcommittee for amateur-built aircraft safety. Earl Lawrence is one of the co-chairs, along with John Duncan of FAA's Flight Standards. The group also includes General Aviation Manufacturers Association, the Light Aircraft Manufacturers Association, and the Air Safety Foundation. I've asked them to address the how and why behind amateur-built safety trends. And they met for the first time yesterday afternoon. So this is a new thing going, and we're looking forward to hearing what this group can come up with. And I know on top of that, Nick, our chief aviation safety executive, has commissioned a special work group to study the amateur segment's flight characteristics, again, to see what we can learn and to see what more can be done to help improve on the safety side of this. So back to the policy. Look, I respect that many of y'all feel differently about the proposed policy change. So I just want to encourage you to weigh in with those recommendations and with those comments. I think, you know, our record over the last few years and with the light sport aircraft rule, we are trying to be responsive to folks. We're trying to work out the issues together in our rulemaking. And ultimately, at the end of the day, I think everybody's goal is to see this industry, you know, further innovate and grow, and at the same time maintain the safety trends that we need to see from a broader perspective. So the public comment period closes at the end of September. Please, please, please take advantage of the opportunity. Likewise, we have proposed a number of changes to the light sport aircraft rule. And again, feedback is very important to that part, that segment of the industry, and improvements in the rule we put out several years ago. That's kind of the amateur-built issues. I just want to close out here by talking about a few others in terms of medical, in terms of next-gen, but particularly in terms of safety and runway safety, which has been one of my main focus areas. And, you know, I think one of the enduring truths, and we had breakfast with the Association of Flight Instructors this morning, was a good comment about that you do learn something on every flight. And that's what training and flying is in part all about. And if you don't, you know, you need to reevaluate what you're doing, because it is a continuous learning process. The way things are trending now, GA accidents in fiscal 08 will likely be about 30% lower than they were 5 years ago. And that's a great success story. We're seeing declining numbers of CFIT, loss of control, fuel exhaustion emergencies, and other types of scenarios. And I think some folks would say, well, it's the price of fuel. Folks aren't, you know, flying as much as they used to. And while there may be some truth in the operations are down, I think what we are going to find and what we are seeing is that not only are the absolute numbers decreasing, but the rates are decreasing as well. So GA flying continues to improve its safety record. And again, that goes to the partnership efforts and the benefits of partnerships with groups like EAA and others involved in this segment of the industry. Things like the Good Mentor Program. You know, all these programs we've been working on together are starting to bear results for us. The one area where I think we do need to do better is runway safety. And I've had this conversation with the commercial aviation side of the business, and I'd like to just touch on it with y'all today. GA pilot deviations continue to be the bulk of the numbers that we see in runway incursions, whether they are ABs, Cs, or Ds. And what is disturbing to me as a pilot is that we are seeing more and more of these hear-back, read-back issues, where a controller gives an instruction, say, to hold short of a runway, the pilot acknowledges the instruction correctly, but then does something different. And it's just extremely frustrating, you know. And one thing it does point out, though, is that the human in the loop, the human factors, always continues to be an issue with aviation. But the other thing it points out is what we are doing as pilots in the cockpit, you know, and how we are treating the flight as we, you know, taxi out all the way to as we taxi in. So I'll get back to that in a minute, but I'd like you all to please visit the runway safety booth here at the FAA Safety Center. It's got all kinds of materials on the issue, and I know Nick has redesigned the FAA Aviation News magazine, so I'd encourage you to take advantage of that resource as well. And we've got copies floating around all over the place. On the website, there's some training and information at faasafety.gov that y'all might find useful as well. And listen, from one pilot to another, let me just encourage you all to stay focused, okay, to minimize the distractions in the cockpit. Stay aware. Familiarize yourself with the airport layout before you start taxiing. Review safe taxiing procedures to, from, and on the runway. Pay attention to the signs and markings. We spent a whole lot of money trying to improve signage and markings at airports of all different levels. You know, I think everybody knows a safe flight begins the moment you get into the cockpit, but it does not end until the moment you step out. So you need to stay focused. You know, I'm asking you all to be part of the solution, to help me fix this problem in the GA and get the numbers going back in the direction that all of the other safety numbers are going, which is very positive. Skipping on to medicals. Just want to raise the issue of medical waivers. You know, after hearing from you all a couple of years ago, we've cut the backlog down to almost zero. And we whittled down the average processing time from several months to 15 days. And just this morning, again at breakfast, I talked to a pilot, come up and said, thanks. Dr. Tilton's folks today had helped him get his medical cleared up in about 20 minutes. We've got three docs here this week, so take advantage of them. Thanks.
You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.